everybody. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to this shit show.
Oh, the Hammer films, how they vex us. I mean, the good news is it's like, I don't have a day count on it, but it's like 200 days or so from Halloween. So we got that going for us.
Is that right?
220? No, because this is going to air later.
Oh, so sooner.
Yeah, it's about 200 days. So we got that to look forward to.
Amazing.
And Kathy and I are going to go to some events this summer as we do. We usually go to Midsummer Scream. We usually go to Monsterpalooza. So if any of you are going to hit up those events, please let us know if you want to, you know,
stop in and say hello.
Have a beverage together or something. Please let us know. Okay, so today, as our patrons know, and as some of you know that click on our Patreon clips that we've been throwing up there on Mondays, it's, you know, 4, 5, 6 minutes of a Patreon episode to give you a taste of what you get with that membership. If you've been following along, we watched like 6, 7, 8 Hammer films that specifically had Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee in them. We picked those ones just to narrow it down because we wanted to start watching some Hammer films. And like we watched Universal films, we wanted to see if we dug it, what we thought about it, and just be more, it's like edifying our history of horror, which I think is something we're always looking to do.
Fair.
So here we are at the end of it, and we've watched the ones we chose to watch, and so we're going to talk about them. And I have the sense, it's funny, we were going to rate them. It was going to be just like the Universal Monsters episode. And then it was like, we don't like these movies. So ranking them is like, here's all the one star. Here's all the really bad shit. Mm-mm. And then there's maybe like parts of this movie and maybe this one movie that I liked. So we aren't going to rank them anymore, even though that's what we started out to do. But we are going to talk about each movie and sort of some of the things that we liked, because it's not all hate. There are elements, different things that we liked about them. And then there's probably a lot of hate after that. Kathy may yell.
I might.
She tends to do that.
And when sigh. She's,
lots of sighing. There's a lot of that. You've been listening to recent shows of yourself, haven't you? You've heard yourself sigh.
No, I just sigh a lot with the Hammer films.
A lot.
I wanted to really like these more than I did.
Yeah, so if you love Hammer films, you know, stick with us and hear us out about like how we experienced them. And then if you have something in your back pocket about like why we may have missed something or your favorite Hammer film, because maybe it doesn't have Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee in it, and you have a couple of favorite Hammer films that you want to throw our way and say, hey, have you tried this or that? That would be super helpful. I think we remain open, even though it was tough to get through. Yeah. Kathy's going to talk a little bit about the history of Hammer films, just very lightly in a very general way.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a British production company known for its low budget gothic horror feature film.
That's obvious.
And Shannon and I have had this conversation off air where we've talked about like, no wonder they were able to produce 755,000 films because they continue to use elements of the same set and probably the same makeup through the whole damn thing.
And the same actors.
So it actually started by a man named Enrique Carreras.
Nice.
He was a theater owner in 1934 and a jewelry store owner, William Hines, who was also a performer.
Of the ketchup franchise?
No, not Hines. Hindes. Hindes. He was also an actor, performed in variety shows at that time under the stage name of Will Hammer.
Ah.
This was a horror fact a few weeks ago, I believe. So they joined together to form the film distribution company Exclusive Films Limited. And then their efforts were cut short by World War II. And then the company reemerged post-World War II in 1947 and renamed as the Hammer Film Productions Limited, with his son James Carreras and Anthony Hines taking over production. So they handed it down to juniors, And then it even went down to Junior Junior's grandson, Michael Carreras, joined in 1955 and became a managing director. Ouch. So all very much in the family. It wasn't until the mid-50s, and this is around the time that Shannon and I started as far as our viewing, most of it went 50s through 70s, I think, that Hammer hit upon its winning formula, because it did more than horror. Right. But horror is what they really became known for, and some science fiction. So the was called the Quatermass Experiment, 1955, directed by Val Guest and starring Brian Donlevy, I don't know, was a film version of a successful British television series. And then Hammer's production of The Snorkel in 1958, the story of a teenager who suspects that her stepfather is a murderer, marks the beginning of the company's adult horror films. But over time, it was very, 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 it became much more low budget. And it was known for, and if you watch it, we've made jokes about this on our mini cast, is like the abundance of this like bright red blood and gore. And then they, as they call the scantily clad young women, that's kind of like the setup in every single one.
Boobs and blood.
But where they, and maybe we can pause here after I mention this last part, is where it really then began to center, and I think where it stayed, and maybe it also became, although its biggest win, it's also its biggest loss was in the late 1950s, Hammer signed Christopher Lee. And, you know, with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing, they sort of took over every single film. And Christopher Lee would play Count Dracula 6 more times for Hammer after this
We
film.
Watched 3 of them.
It's almost like, I will play Dracula again. Put me anywhere. And they really did.
That's
they started
why he's
putting
so famous
Dracula
for it.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
They put him in the 70s. They put him in a cult. You know, they put him in space. I don't know if they put him in space, but they would. But they put him everywhere.
Yeah.
He was like the Michael Myers of the day.
Yeah.
let's pause there, because I think that's a lot of what you and I watched were when Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing came in and took over this production company.
Well, and I thought, because it was my thought, was I was like, well, how do I narrow this down? We can't watch 60 films. So it was like, oh, look, Peter and Chris were in, you know, 7 of them or whatever. Let's just watch those and really hone in on that. And because I'm thinking, like, I really like Peter Cushing, but I'd never watched him in Hammer films. And I still really like Peter Cushing. Did I like him in this stuff? No. No,
I wish you all can see your face. Did I like him in this? No,
I really didn't. And yes, of course, Christopher Lee is a fantastic Dracula, and he was a fantastic
like
Frankenstein and Mummy and all the other
Lee
things.
Christopher Lee was a great Dracula like once, and then he just is the same over and over.
Yes.
If you watch series like Halloween or Friday the 13th, Jason changes. Michael changes. He just stands there and does his Christopher Lee for 7 fucking films.
So, yeah.
Where like the women just dance naked around him and act hysterical. And he just like looks once into the camera and there's his performance.
Yeah. And I mean, I think overall we would say that we like boobs and blood. Like I didn't have any problem with the practical effects.
That should have been our podcast name.
Boobs and blood. We'll do an episode. We'll do a series. Boobs and blood. No, we won't. It's
Maybe
fine.
We will.
It's fine the way it is. Because I liked all the attempts at practical effects. That was fun. I like all of the cosplay monsters, you know, like ridiculousness. I liked the fake, weird, old-timey gore. Boobs are great. Boobs are fine. It's hilarious to look at these movies from the aspect of like, oh, look, the fourth woman to be sacrificed with her boobs out. Like, it's fine.
The ambiance and the sets
it's fun.
Were fun.
It's fun. So that's all good stuff. It's fun.
She's yelling.
Yeah. She's going to yell soon, too. And don't worry. We're talking about the good stuff. So you want to talk about the Gorgon 1964, since I think it's our favorite?
Yeah. Well, my favorite is AD.
Well, okay.
But yes, our favorite together.
Let's talk about, we're going to start with some good stuff and then get to the hate. So let's just go with the Gorgon and AD and then go down into the barrel of hate after that. So the Gorgon's 1964, directed by Terrence Fisher. And it was just ridiculous and silly, and it kept there was stuff going on, so you didn't get super bored. Like, that's what I remember being good about it.
I wanted more Medusa.
I wanted more. We talked about that, actually, in the Patreon episode. We wanted more Medusa. We thought, I remember that. Thank you for that, because it was it was wasted. Because she'd be so scary and fabulous.
Complete missed opportunity. There were a couple of really great scenes.
Yeah.
And they had one thing I did appreciate about some of the later 50s, early 60s and AD, which I think was supposed to be 70s, was the sets and the makeup were fun.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
So I wanted a little bit, I wanted them to play on the effects a little bit more in this, because this was a Medusa story.
Yeah. And there was fun makeup, fun costumes, fun sets. It moved along. I didn't get super bored any more than I ever do with stuff. But the way it looked was really cool. And there was a lot to look at and a lot going on. And I didn't mind Cushing and Lee in this as much, they were good. They were what I remember of fun and good. Of course, there's same stupid Hammer tropes are in it as well, boardroom conversations and all that. And I wanted more Gorgon, of course.
And the story didn't bother me too much in this either. I was able to follow it and not feel incredibly bored.
Yeah, it didn't take you out too much.
It didn't. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, I thought this one was a lot of fun. Someone needs to do a good Medusa movie.
Yeah, we talked about that. It would be nice. And it's got to be one of these, on our last horror show, we were talking about some stuff we'd watch, and I talked about Damsel that's on Netflix right now and how much I enjoyed it. It's got to be a movie like that where it's lush, It's there's a lot of money and a star, which means there's a lot of money, so that they can make the Medusa character be really super fucking cool. They made that dragon be really cool.
Oh, yes.
In that movie. Anyway. You want to talk a little bit about Dracula AD, since I know you like it?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Dracula AD. First of all, this one I think was one that didn't take itself as seriously, which I appreciated.
It helps a lot.
And it's so bizarre, but it's so much fun. So Dracula AD was, that one's 1972, so it's one of their later ones. In 1972 London, a century after his final battle with Professor Van Helsing, Count Dracula is resurrected by occultist Johnny Alucard and goes after his archenemy's descendants. So Van Helsing's, I think, granddaughter is the center. She's one of the main characters in this. Mm-hmm. But what I loved so much about this is it literally was a 1970s party.
Yeah.
Right? Disco party.
Yeah.
In the midst of a Dracula cult.
Yeah.
So this one guy who is
funny. I don't know.
One of the descendants, he ends up bringing Dracula back from the dead and taking this whole cult thing way too seriously.
Boobs and blood, man.
And all the boobs and blood, they're all sitting there going, we just want to drink, man. And all of a sudden they realize oh shit, there's an actual cult happening
now. There's a woman up there with blood all over boobs right now.
And then there's the scenes at the end where this guy who's trying to reestablish this cult, when he dies in the bathtub, and it's a 15 minute and I thought maybe that's funny. Where they got the bathtub scene in Lost Boys from, right? Where they push him in the
probably
tub, and then and then Pee Wee Herman's long death in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because it was too it was uncanny.
It was so melodramatic. That's one of the things I really liked about this is, like you said, it doesn't take itself too seriously. But as soon as you embrace the melodrama of it, because it's these long extended histrionic scenes where people are writhing in bathtubs for 5 minutes, it felt like 5 minutes because it's ridiculous. And Hammer does all this music, all this over the top, melodramatic, ridiculous music. And in this setting with this movie, that worked.
Yeah.
But in some of the other movies, they're trying to be serious and there's this big fucking music going on.
This one was literally just watching or listening to a 1970s soundtrack while this whole Dracula cult thing was happening. I found myself laughing quite a bit.
Yeah, great.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Is there anything else that we liked about that? Were there any other movies that you liked? Because we're going to go down
the
bad hole.
Yeah, we'll go down the bad hole. The other one that I thought was decent.
Okay.
Was the Satanic Rites of Dracula.
Oh, okay.
And that's the one where, like, the plague, where they're trying to wipe out humanity.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that they killed the rooster in that.
No.
But I felt like the storyline at least was going somewhere.
Okay. So, like, there was more story in that one than...
Yeah, it was like the Sabbath of the Undead and 23rd of the month. Van Helsing discovers this thing's going to happen and they're trying to wipe out humanity. Like, I felt like there was actually a plot.
Yeah, I guess so. I was bored.
Well, they're all fucking boring. But I mean, at least this one had a goddamn story.
That's true.
I don't think any of them in here I would ever rewatch, with the exception of having AD on in the background.
Yeah, just for the music. I'm not even going there. So, I mean, I might watch other Hammer films to see if I can find some other. Like, there could be a time, I could imagine a time where I looked at, like, the best Hammer films ever made and watched the top three to see if I could even find any. Because it just might not be for me. You know what I mean? Like, it just, the vibes are very congruent. So they have a style. That's why they're the Hammer films. Mm-hmm. They have a style. They have very congruent tropes. They have things that are about them that we've mentioned that are all in all, every single one of them, including that there's always some boardroom scene with a bunch of white men deciding what they're going to do for 15 minutes in some English room in a house while we're drinking tea and talking about how everyone's dying and what are we going to do about it? Because, you know, let's discuss Dracula with tea for 3 hours instead of doing anything about it. You know,
why not?
Steaks. Can I offer you a steak to kill him with?
Okay. I mean, outside of really those 2.5.
Yeah, got it.
They're all fucking terrible.
I remember when we talked about The Curse of Frankenstein and we were like, it's fine.
It was decent.
It's fine. That was kind of our review.
Yeah.
We went on and on. It's fine.
It's fine.
You know, the end of the show.
I barely remember it at this point. Wasn't there a Mummy one in there too we watched?
Yes. So we will have to talk about them all. The Curse of Frankenstein. And then the other one is that you're mentioning is The Mummy from 1959. So... The funny thing about The Mummy was the actual mummy. Do you remember what it looked like?
Oh my God, he looked like he just had mud all over his face.
I know.
He looked like Tar Man.
It was so bad. Oh God, it was so boring. They're like,
just stand there. We're going to put some clay on you.
I mean, the best thing about these movies are the posters, to be honest.
The artwork is actually fantastic.
But here's the thing. The Mummy is directed by the same guy that did... that did the Gorgon. It's that Terrence Fisher guy. He did a lot of them, and it's the same director. But like this one is, oh.
Well, the Mummy went off on some weird shit.
Yeah,
there was the random guy that got killed because he wanted to bring that woman back to life, and like it was such blasphemy, and it just was really bizarre.
Went off the rails.
It went off the rails. Like the storyline was really weird. The Mummy was ridiculous looking.
Yes, it was ridiculous looking. And then you're laughing at it and thinking it's supposed to be funny. And then it's not supposed to be funny. It's just bad.
Yes. Yes.
All right. There's two more. Okay. Dracula.
The OG?
1958. And we also watched The Hound of Baskervilles.
Oh, no. To which I will never talk about again.
Okay.
Are you talking about
talk
Horrors,
about it now.
Horrors of Dracula, the 1958? This is the first time we see Christopher Lee as Dracula, correct?
I think so. Sure.
So the first time, I will say that the first time I see him as Dracula, it's effective.
Understood.
Okay, because I think he has a presence about him.
Yeah.
The problem is, in order to make these movies worthwhile, you need to have more than just a presence. Like, that works for a good minute.
Yeah. Yeah,
then
yeah.
Seven films later, you're not doing anything else. It's like,
I don't care.
The villain's not scary anymore.
Yeah, I just don't care.
I just don't care.
I just don't care. Like, do it once or twice or as part of a trilogy and some big blockbuster, but like, then give it a rest.
Can I tell you that my favorite part of this movie, and this is like tongue in cheek because it's just so stupid and ridiculous, when he kills Lucy and she turns into the old lady and then crumbles into dust.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, it's so poorly edited.
Yeah, of course.
That they just put this little old lady in the coffin.
Yeah.
And they put blood all over.
Oh, God.
And then the next scene is just ash. But the editing cuts in this. The low budget screams loudly.
It's so bad.
In this.
It's so bad. And here's the thing. I'm a horror raccoon. I do like a lot of the trash, but I don't know. There's just something about it that doesn't hit for me. And it's not that I don't like old horror, but I have to say it's probably too old.
I have some hammer trashy facts with Kath.
Let's do that. Okay. And then we will, for the last time, talk about The Hand of Baskerville.
You see how I'm trying to avoid this?
I know you are, but okay. We got to do it. I mean, even briefly.
You play my song?
Oh, sure.
Hammer facts with dirt!
You wanted to go death metal for that, yeah. For sure.
What year was Hammer Films founded?
That's boring. I don't know. 1936.
Number two. Will Hammer, a stage name for a jewelry store owner by the name of Blank, which I said at the top of the episode, was the founder of Hammer Films.
Boba Fett.
Number three. Who was the leading lady in Hammer Films of the late 1960s?
Boobs and Blood.
Yep. Number four, during its most productive period of activity, 1947 to 1979, Hammer released Blank Films, Blank of which can be regarded as falling within the horror genre. Because we talked about how they did a lot of movies, but how many of those were actually horror?
60, shut
up and write it down.
18.
Number five.
Oh, I'm guessing.
What was the name of the movie that Hammer tried to make with Bruce Lee? And Hammer tried to do this because there was a growing popularity of martial arts films and their films were starting to fail. So, like, we got an idea. Christopher Lee is Dracula up against Bruce Lee.
Pitch it.
Let's pitch it. I don't really think that's what it is, but I can imagine them being like, Christopher Lee, one more time. One last time is Dracula. Who wins, Dracula or Bruce Lee?
Fists of Blood.
Close.
Well, because Bruce Lee, Fist of Fury.
Yes. There you go.
Appreciate that. We'll answer those in just a couple minutes because we only really have to talk about whatever else we have to talk about. The Hounds of Baskerville, 1959, also directed by this Terrence Fisher guy. I gave it a 1 star.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. And I think, you know, it's boring. But what do you think makes it even more bad than the other boring, bad Hammer films?
It's such a slow burn.
Yeah. With no fire.
And
ever.
It's a, for people who don't know, it is a Sherlock Holmes theme, which yeah. I usually find Sherlock Holmes really fun and there's banter.
If it's actually, oh Jesus, yeah. I don't know. They just, it's expectations.
And they're one of it. First of all, where are the hounds?
Yeah.
Okay. You see like one at the end.
Horrors of Baskerville.
The whole Sherlock Holmes thing is lost on me because it's Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee doing their thing. They're nothing like Holmes and Watson.
No.
At all.
No.
So that was disappointing.
It was just a bunch of white men talking in a study with tea.
Bubbling idiots. Like they just, oh God, it's just so bad.
It's slow. It's not scary.
And then there's one horror scene at the end where that you see the hound for like 5 seconds.
It's like a dude in a suit.
It was a man in like a.
And I mean, the Universal movies have that too, dudes in suits.
But the Wolfman,
the pathos in the Wolfman story with Universal,
and the makeup
is what saves it too. There was a lot of pathos. There was a dad. There was a son. There was drama. There was sadness. There was
emotion.
There was regret. There was sacrifice. All that shit. And I'm not saying that was the best movie ever made either, but there was. Oh, this was so boring.
Hey, I'm a fax with her.
We're sick of ourselves. So we're going to do the answers.
Number one. What year was Hammer Films founded?
1936.
1934.
I was close.
It actually depends on where you look.
Oh, really?
Sometimes it says 36.
Oh, really? Okay. Hey, I kind of got it right.
Will Hammer, a stage name for a jewelry store owner by the name of Blank, was the founder of Hammer Films.
Joe Piscopo.
William Hines.
Oh, yeah, ketchup.
Yeah. Number three, who was the leading lady in Hammer Films of the late 1960s?
Boobs and blood.
Veronica Carlson, same thing.
Charlize Theron.
During its most productive period of activity, 47 through 79, Hammer released Blank Films, and Blank of which can be regarded falling within the horror genre.
57 films. 16.5.
158 films, 50 falling within the horror of
one third.
And then lastly, what was the name of the movie that Hammer tried to make with Bruce Lee?
Fists of Blood. We talked about this. Boobs and blood? Fists of boobs?
The fists of boobs. Close. The legend of...
Close. Thank you.
The Legend of Seven Golden Vampires.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that movie. Whoosh.
Have you really?
Our friend Snake loves that movie.
Of course he does.
And shows it from time to time. And I couldn't... I love you so much, Snake, but I couldn't be bored than...
I say that with all love because half the time he and I watch the same stupid shit.
No, you guys like a lot of the same movies.
No.
I've seen it because of Snake, and that's good because you have to watch things to know whether you jive with them or not. And there are some beautiful moments, of course, and there's some beautiful filmmaking, but my God. I guess it wasn't Boobs of Fury.
No. Fists of boobs is my favorite.
Fists of boobs?
You said fists of boobs.
Fists of boobs, starring Bruce Lee and Christopher Lee. Dracula, like, literally throwing up his cape.
And he has boobs underneath.
With, like, karate chops.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'd watch that movie.
I totally would.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Terror Talk. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Kathy. Sleep safe, everyone.